for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective on this lovely Easter day. I wanted to use the opportunity to channel guidance to share an episode for our Order of Melchizedek. And if you go to yesterday's YouTube channel, you'll find out more on the psych educational perspective if you want. You don't have to, but that's for anybody who's tuning in. And it's because that's actually where I was getting my guidance from. And also it shares a little bit about how, you know, the 5D community overall, whether you're a mystic or a functional adult, so a person who embraces the sciences and you don't embrace the ancient biblical texts, we all do not have a welcome from all people. obviously the people who have faith within the Holy Spirit, I've met plenty of them that know that we have a need for new stories, and not just stories, because science is actually talks about the balance between, for example, the masculine and the feminine, although, you know, science doesn't talk about it the way a mystic does. That's why, again, we have a little bit of this and that for me, bringing human, spiritual, and spirituality elements, but also for the ones who don't have any curiosity in learning about being human, they don't learn about attachment and trauma information. So there's an array of individuals who keep on addressing humanity as one evil, and evil is not actually what the ancient biblical text stories are anymore. It's actually there's a lovely a forensic criminologist, Michael Stone, and he gives us a scale of 1 to 22 of evil. And all of those people, from attachment and trauma-informed person such as myself, I know they all need a good therapist. The same thing goes for the whole demonic possession. We have Patrick McNamara, neuroscientist, who shows there's a fear receptor in the brain that goes wonky from his study and research, and that there's no demon that possesses a person. Furthermore, my own educational courses with Daniel Siegel particularly, but also NICABM, but I'm thinking of the ones on dissociative identity disorder with Daniel Siegel and disorganized attachment. And then there's one with Ruth Lanius and Bethany that is on dissociative disorder overall. So not just DID, dissociative disorders, I believe it was the title of the course. And then with basic, but also follow-up and in-depth trauma courses on NICABM, and then my Somatopia ones, and as well as my Awakened Embodied Certificate course with Embodied Philosophy, and many more. So sciences, when I say sciences, I'm talking about academia, and they have quantitative research. This is not just qualitative. There's also qualitative, but usually you're going to find that it's a qualitative with a neurobiologist, a neuroscientist. So like the book Determined that I have yet to read by, what's his name, Robert M. Sapolsky, if I remember correctly. I need to get my book. I'm going to look for my Kindle, but I haven't continued reading it. And however, although I did realize it's, you know, qualitative, he's still a neurobiologist, if I remember correctly. I don't know where the book is, but he studied, I think it was baboons and something else. But the neurobiology does make a difference, because that's a whole other field that I have no idea about, but I have a gist of it. Okay, so the biology, this is cellular, and here's where, again, disconnected from these human sciences, people who don't learn about it, when they hear those who talk about being compassionate or integration, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, so the part of ignorance, evil ignorance, they all will use ancient textbook and ancient anything and continue to make discourses that are not actually true. So to me, it's you spreading rumors. Okay, so here's what is not spreading rumors. There's this channel on YouTube, I've mentioned it before, and it's called the Institute of Art and I Think Ideology, so IAI, but the video, I haven't finished watching it, I got halfway through The End of Good and Evil. They have a panel that are a panel of people talking about this, and there's Slavoj Zizek, if I pronounce his name correctly, Rowan Williams, Maria Balaska, and Richard Wrangham. And they debate the utility and meaning of quote-unquote good and evil. I didn't finish it, but just to give you the gist of what they have for the video's introduction, and then we'll lead ourselves to our own conversation. Whether he says, or she, or whoever the person who wrote the copy is, or they, whether we see humans as essentially good or essentially selfish and violent has been central to our politics, our account of society, and our vision for social progress. But is this very distinction itself a mistake? Recently, Harvard scientists have shown humans to be both the kindest and most malevolent species on the planet. While figures like Hitler and Stalin, though responsible for tens of millions of deaths, were also remarkably empathetic in aspects of their private lives. He or they or she says, should we give up the idea, therefore, that humans are either inherently good or bad and conclude that all of us are both at the same time with potentially profound consequences for our political beliefs, question mark, or is it vital to retain the distinction to alert us to danger and to drive personal and social change, question mark again, or more profoundly, are the categories of good and bad themselves the underlying error and unhelpful and even dangerous ways of categorizing human behavior, question mark again. I am going to go with the last question, which is that good and bad in using those categories is an error and unhelpful and yes, dangerous, because the categorization at this point in our 2024, the year of 2024, with attachment and trauma and neurobiology and neuroscience, with all of that which science is, has shown is in the human being embodied brain, which is what every person is, unless you want to follow flat earthers, which is where 4D mystics and 3D mystics, or anyways, where the evil ignorant, quote unquote, people are. So wherever there's a person who's going to say there's a demonic spirit there versus there's a person who has unfinished business, who might have dissociative identity disorder. And they don't know it, who will need, if they're not kind and compassionate, the evidence is that integration of the brain leads to kindness and compassion. Integration of the brain is you using your prefrontal cortex. It's you being unflappable. It's you being a secure attachment. It's your mammalian heritage of being a restorative embodied self. So it's a human being with no trauma charges lingering within that body and the brain. And all of those come up with the ascension energies. This is something that I had already begun to notice when I began my ascension journey. I only had 4D to look to when it comes to what is our mystic spiritual community. With Sadhguru, luckily, I got actual spirituality and yoga and a lot of great information from him, and I still do stories. They all lead to the same integration of the brain that I learned from Daniel Siegel. In fact, here's one of those most important quotes. I will read it. If you overflow with humanity, divinity has to descend. This is Sadhguru again. When he talks about Jesus in a different number of his interviews, he talks about what it means to turn the other cheek and how it's about responding. When you learn about a person who is in their green, meaning in your prefrontal cortex, meaning in your higher social engagement system, meaning that you can be present because you're online with your prefrontal cortex, you will not react to a person who is in a whatever it is, if they're yelling at you, if they're insulting you, if they're reacting, you're going to be what my somatic therapist teacher called an angry Buddhist, but you don't have to be a Buddhist. So here's where those ancient biblical texts of people, they fear monger and they're just leading with Peter Pans and Wendy's because they're stuck in a time that doesn't exist anymore. But they're also remaining ignorant on the topics of attachment and trauma. And ignorant, what I mean is they don't dive into years. I've done 2 years so far of these courses, and it's like I'm not even done. I have, 5 to 10 that I've been able to finish out of the, I don't even know, I've lost count. And already by the time I was done with the first 3 or 4, though, I understood clearly. Interpersonal neurobiology simply supported me to understand the different facets that are involved, and in fact it's one framework from Daniel Siegel that integrates different subject matters. So obviously it's a framework that is not accepted by all of those who are within the field of mental health, for example, and that's where we find those other educators who will go and say there's a hole here, there's a hole there, like with attachment and trauma, there's a hole here and there's a hole there, and you get papers, and the people who are basically lost boys, lost girls with their Peter Pans and Wendy's, they go find those papers. Like with the theologians who are making papers, Reiki is not the Holy Spirit. It's being decided by the theologian and or groups that are like, oh, let me go and grab that ancient textbook and keep on using it to say that we own the energy field. It's kind of like with space, you know, space now that they can, or since we have science and technology, what it is I saw this article that was saying what is going unseen about how Elon Musk has made it more affordable for people to begin going into space, something like that. I didn't read the article, but the headline caught my attention, and then I went to skim through the article, so I still have it. But Why am I bringing that one up? Because I think of the people who are like, oh, how dare humans go visit space. You should stay on planet Earth. But what people don't realize, because see, I've watched how the universe works, and I watched a bunch of them. This is a great series of seasons. I think there's like 11, I don't know, but there's a bunch of them. And they talk about how, you know, the sun's going to go out at some point. I want our future generations to live. I don't want them to die. And no matter how a person's going to want to distort that, they think humanity, right here is where we have those who are not integrated. Humanity sucks. Humanity is evil. They're all adaptive children. They all have a trust break and an attachment wound, and they're not recognizing that when you speak against your own species, you have shame. Not the other way around. You have a defectiveness, 0-1-year-old, heartbroken 3-year-old, which is where the attachment trauma information comes in for me. And I now know you're in your biological rudeness. I got a low self-esteem human being who has no idea that they're living in their past, because they don't know that the past means your inner child. They don't believe in the 0-1-year-old or the 3-7-year-old, none of the charged parts that I know about. So if you present to somebody this, the ones who are open, they'll be like, oh yeah, you know what? Actually, I can see that. I can recognize when sensations, images, affects, and this is where meaning and behavior, those two, let me put them to the side for a minute. Because if you're self-aware with meta-awareness, which is the 5D collective, so I'm also talking to my 5D collective right now, and that would be people who are emotionally aware, accountable. You know when your heart says something, you know it's coming up. Otherwise, you don't have bilateral integration, which means you don't have self-awareness. It means you have a distorted self-awareness. So let's say you have some upset that goes on, and you know that you've experienced situations that are participant to that, okay? So we're going to use the divine masculine, divine feminine, but we're going to use it with the traits of the divine masculine. A whole divine masculine is a protector and a nurturer, because they have access to their divine feminine, which is their body. So they have access to their inner child, to their heart, to their right mode. The divine feminine, they are a person who has access to their divine masculine, which is the mind, which means you know how to be unflappable in equanimity and in your brain. That means you know how to sit in functional adult land. And that's because you have the access of right and left mode equally. And a feminine is a nurturer. So she's not going to have the shame defectiveness button, the divine feminine. Okay, so don't look at those individuals out there, please, who talk about themselves as a divine feminine only because they have clairs. Right now, I'm giving you Maria's interpretation. Okay, we can put it this way. And actually, what I'm also going to do is I looked up a couple and there were more words that I wanted to review together. So one, supernatural being, when you look at that, they consider something supernatural when it's not able to be understood by science, or it goes beyond scientific understanding of the laws of nature. Okay, so let me go back for a minute to how the universe works. If we don't invest in science and technology, our human species will die. I don't want that. So I'm going to go for sciences, obviously moderation, and I'm also educated. I'm not a flat earther, which is why I'm a 5D mystic and not a 4D. So the people who want to maintain their ancient textbook stories, they're going to continue talking about shit like this, supernatural one. I remember watching a video that we've talked about of this guy who says anyone can be enlightened in the enlightenment soul age group, because it's the way your brain is going to be able to work, which is in fact, thank you, Daniel Siegel, in an integrated brain, all hands on deck, your default mode network is downregulated, and that means you're in a state of compassion because you are looking from your eyes into the eyes of another human being with your higher social engagement system, and you're not being triggered in a way that you would throw at them. You can still be emotionally triggered because we all have emotions. The difference is with self-awareness through meta-awareness and self-empowerment, you show up fully and completely, and you don't hide and you don't lie and you don't use the emotion that comes up that is uncomfortable and get into a Cusco teenager, I call it, attitude, and make up some story. to yourself. You actually have that inner growth mindset. So when anything that is basically an emotional trigger for the people who have ownership of their own emotional plane, we are not looking at it as a trigger per se, but if we need to use a technical term, it can be a trigger, because those who find emotions that are, let's say, heartbreak, sad, in a way of not knowing, it's something that takes place because of a lack of connection. So all of our basic emotions are human. They all served our survival. We now don't need to survive the same way we used to, but we still have the same basic emotions. Okay, so people have moved into where, like, that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We have basic necessities, some of us, not all of us. And that's where the soul age groups also can come into the mix. But I don't want to integrate too many different things. So what I'm trying to get, I'm going to go finish up. The supernatural, this neuroscientist he was, and he is, he's still alive. As he explained, he's like, everybody can move into this, selflessness, timelessness, effortlessness, richness. That's what happens to the brain when you're in a flow state. So I can talk all about it. There's still, when the ascension energies come about, for me, luckily, I'm finally stable with my relationship with this sphere of Akash, because I had energy body expansion. It's light body. My first light body was with my confirmation. That's why I recognize the other ones, and that's why whenever I am having any type of excess energy, I know everything at this point, and I just work with it. So the effortlessness is where fear begins to set in, and that's for those of us who have panic attacks. We can have that panic story, but if you really ground yourself again and again and again, your window of one tolerance is, mine's always been a window of welcome, but your energy body also expands, is what I should say. So there's two different arenas. Some of us, we're always expanding. And the ones who are aware of it are the feminines, because the feminines have the relationship with the subconscious and conscious, with the area of what is in between. Let me try to get to this better. The right mode of our brain is what dominates a feminine, because it's the nonverbal part. And so any sensation, image, affect, it comes up, and you're also reading everything outside of you. So I'm just going to say that, even though we have right and left always working together, or no, not together. If you allow bilateral integration to happen, you work with them together. If you have impaired bilateral integration, then you won't, because they technically, until you're practicing flipping between one and the other and allowing them to harmonize. So let's say that your left right now was chit-chatting over me with your implicit bias, cultural bias, religious bias, whatever it is, your own opinions, your personality stuff, your shit. Well, we all have shit, so meaning your stuff. If you don't silence it, then you're not going to allow, one, yourself to hear me. Two, your right mode too needs to be silenced. So when you hear somebody, like a Sadhguru, talking about silence inside, I'm going to explain it to you. It's you being able to be engaged with me. And the part that is also required, though, is that amygdala of yours, because when I look in your eyes and you look in my eyes, there's going to be one of two ways that you're going to engage. And it's either gonna, I want to get to know the person and I'm gonna let them get to know me, or it's not. Okay. And with good self-awareness, you will know about this, because all of us do. So the feminines, as I was saying, they have a relationship with the energy around. And we're also growing closer to the April 8th, the solar eclipse. And I need to double check on that geomagnetic storm, because some stuff was going on with that. And so, yes, for any person who's sensitive to the more than the visual, auditory, gustatory, olfactory, tactile, vestibular, and that's actually visual, auditory, the more than the five senses. Anybody who has access to more than the five senses is spiritual. They have a perception. Thank you, Sadhguru. And that's why we have a group of feminines that are definitely with clairs, but they're not whole. They're not balanced. You'll notice it because they will not be in a space of loving humanity. They will be, let me use those words, so before we go on, evil spirit promotes corruption, malice, and depravity in the world and in humans. And that other definition, demonic spirit by definition seeks to hurt, kill, divide, demoralize any people. Okay, so let's go to what I was talking about, because I know of feminines, and they don't have to be women, but these feminines who say they're spiritual and they're spiritual bypassers, and I know that they have misanthropy, hatred, dislike, or distrust of humankind, contempt for prejudice and or basically against humanity. So you are therefore then, should I define you as a demonic spirit? Which is why we don't want to use these words, good and evil, demonic. This is why I was talking first about that one video. It is not helpful. It actually causes stereotypes to continue. It causes hatred to continue. It causes divide. So separation of consciousness is people who live in a disorganized attachment world where everybody is in a dysregulated nervous system. No, luckily not everybody. So here's where the 5D I am channeling for the order of Melchizedek. Those are, let me read our lovely order so that I can actually remind and share with anybody who's just tuned into this the first time. So Melchizedek, his name means King of Righteousness, and he is the first high priest mentioned in the Bible. The one who initiated all the great teachers that followed him. He is mentioned in several Abrahamic texts, included the Dead Sea Scrolls and also the Kabbalist Zohar. He is an ancient gatekeeper of the light who is dedicated to helping all those walking the spiritual path to take the initiatory steps to align. And they always say with light, but you know, we're all light. So this gets confused, light and darkness. And in fact, the expert yogis get introduced to darkness. So I'm gonna use the word light means energy. Okay, so we're gonna replace this with energy, not light. So all of us, when we're aligning with our energy, your energy is only gonna be pure consciousness energy if in your body you don't have any more trauma charges lingering, which means you will have healed trauma from within you, which means your inner child can come out and play, which means the innocence. Let me bring in Patrick Tiahan, his childhood trauma. Biggest regret, he was made unkind because he didn't have a regulated nervous system. He didn't have secure attachment. He didn't have a inner child that had a grown up. He had to learn to reparent himself. This is what trauma and attachment information can help a person to understand. What is it like for you to not know about yourself and to project your emotional triggers? Let's use Patrick Tiahan's examples. Bill is waking up, he's getting ready for work. Ah, if I see Will again in my work job, whatever this dude did, I'm gonna beat him up. That's what's unfinished business. Or a lady walks into the supermarket and some woman, cashier lady, looks at her and she looks at her friend. Did you see her? She looked at me weird. Okay, so anytime people have what I call a teenager attitude, because I was a teenager, I know about that. I just didn't do it that way. But I grew out of those actively, it's not even rigid, but it was more of being sensitive. So emotional sensitivity, there's your ego sensitive people, there are your Cuscos, there's your squirrels, there's people who are not divine feminines or divine masculines for that matter, because they're not self-aware. They didn't see that, they just got triggered and they're projecting it. They didn't even notice the thoughts that crossed their mind. What's the difference with somebody who's aware and who will be okay with processing it? Because that's the whole point of why you would have your higher social engagement on versus anything else, which is why you will trust humanity, even if you will have had experiences where you were broken, trust was broken, heart was broken, things happened, right? Because we're all flawed and imperfect, is the point. Okay, so one. Misanthropy, hatred, dislike, or distrust of humankind. Misandry, hatred of men, contempt for prejudice. We don't talk enough about that. I see plenty of women who fit this description and they think they're feminines and they go around using the name of Jesus, by the way, and then they go around doing shit that they think is actually them spreading love. Oh, lo and behold, there's our squirrels from Cusco land. Then we've got misogyny, hatred of women, and it expanded to now involve sexism, which personally, I have a situation with that because at this point, we really are, you know, using one word to mean everything. Why is misandry not included in this? And here's where I would say that that's, to me, this is a bias. You are now having a plane that is a scale, which tells me that you're expanding misogyny. And yet, misandry is not only not expanded as sexist, which it is, But also, we totally, I don't hear it online. The trending topics all talk about everything but misinformation. I didn't even know the word existed personally, which is why then I went to look up all these words. And mis, by the way, means hate, M-I-S, from the Greek. There you go. So there's a word. And gami means marriage. We also have right there, misgami. So hatred of marriage. There are those who hate marriage. They avoid, they're opposing it, which, you know, that's going to tell me everything about your divine feminine or your divine masculine. Obviously, you've lost that faith, that trust, that everything in the equation of, once again, humankind. And anything that is hatred is a very strong word, one, but it means you have an emotional upset. It means you're in anger or contempt. Long story short, you're not a healed person. You're not in an integrated brain. You're not in your higher social engagement system. You're in your survival mode. And your survival mode is useful, or was given to all of us, for surviving in the wild with the animals, not to be used with each other, which instead is what people don't understand. Again, about that unfinished business. And I actually thought said guru had shared something interesting about that one, but I can't find it. Actually, I'm going to see if I can find it. I found it. So he's talking about meditative. He says, the only reason why human beings do not naturally become meditative is that they are not at ease. As long as the instinct of survival is interdependent. And here's where survival instinct is for actual moderated embodiment, or restorative embodiment, that actually can negate their nervous system, bring themselves to the use of your own nervous system, which is possible. Okay, so with all of these different things being shared, one, in honor of this lovely man named Jesus, let me finish reading Melchizedek, because that's exactly why I chose to do this channeled guidance in this episode. We said the gatekeeper, the best way to describe this Melchizedek is that he is a great wizard, even though I'd say, you know, the minute we find out that he's the first high priestess, it means intuitive, right? It means he had a relationship with the sphere of Akash consciousness. So we can integrate everything from a Sadguru to any one of those textbooks, but not the stories. This is the part that people don't know how to sift through. Because when you sift through the story, you will notice that they all really bring everybody to the same thing. Well, for me, who is here as a person who's talking to people one-to-one to be yourself. Okay, so let me restrict this and make sure that I focus into you, the self of you. I'm going to use your name. Use your name, the self of you. So each and every self, every human being on the face of this planet, one by one by one, can, if they wanted to, heal from trauma charges. But some have a longer journey because hell is what they've got in their body. And anytime they're facing any emotion, what comes up is torture. Okay, so let's remember that, number one. So let's finish. The order of Melchizedek, which was mentioned by Jesus in the New Testament, is a divine order of very high frequency. Let's put that to the side because that is where the 4D keeps thinking of themselves as special. So you're a person. If you are a whole human being, you have humanity in the forefront, you have compassion, you don't have any of hatred for any of what we just mentioned. You understand that we are in the time, and we have always been in a time of change. But right now we're in a new time of change. We have technology, we have science, we have people who think that technology takes our divinity away, that it dehumanizes it. They don't like that we have pronouns and different lifestyles. They have a lot of different ideas. And that's where we're going to put all that to the side, because I'm talking to you to talk about how to become an emotionally mature, accountable, and aware human being. And then as you walk the planet with a secure attachment body, because you know how to regulate your nervous system, safe haven, to be your own secure base, to go off and explore in those 24 hours, whatever it is you like. This is what we're talking about. Okay, so as a whole person, a whole divine feminine, divine masculine, you'll know which one you are. If you're a nurturer, you're divine feminine with a divine masculine. If you're a protector, you're divine masculine with a divine feminine. You'll know instinctively, because there's a way that you will feel when you are out in the world. There's also a way that you see. You will look at people with a very specific angle. And the reason I know is because I'm a divine feminine. And so when I meet divine masculines, and I have a good divine masculine that I can always integrate, and that's where I was able to expand and now know, okay, this totally makes sense, how divine masculine complements me as a divine feminine, and why I need my partner and partners, the good ones, of course, to be here, because I can't see what they see. Cannot, even if I want to, I'm not going to. Instinctively, my first instinct is that I'm going to see your inner child. I'm going to see through you, but from the heart, not from the mind of you. I'm not going to look at your mind. I'm not going to know if you're using your mind. I'm just going to see the essence that you're made of, and whatever hurts may be there, it will be what comes up, but I won't notice it as hurt, because, well, this is where, when you have an open heart, here's where, thank you, Jesus, you learn how to process what is sadness, because it's not something negative. It's an emotion that people will carry because they're still not connected within their own inner child self, in a way of the 0-1-year-old having attached, panicky, the 3-7 being shame, submissive, the freeze of all ages, and then flight 11-12, and the teenagers, the 14-15-16, who gets all spiteful in their butts, but they have to be upset, which is where they can get upset. And then that's when you get into those whole, the people who are the Cuscos and the squirrels, low self-esteem and direct communicators, passive-aggressive, and they don't know boundaries. They don't even know how to tell the truth. They just know how to keep on doing their teenage, you know, persona again and again and again. Okay, so that's why a divine feminine like me can be aware of a divine masculine, because of a lot of the aspects. You're human, and whatever's going on behind the scenes isn't going to affect me the same way, because I don't have a shame button. I don't have a defectiveness. I'm not trying to appease or please the herd. I'm not looking outside of me, in fact. And that's another thing, because a divine feminine will look inside. We will have a relationship with our emotional plane. And that's why we're going to process it inside. And so if you have that unflappability, you have secure attachment, you can be your safe haven, your regular nervous system, you're going to expand. And you don't get lost. You don't get confused. There's nothing that destabilizes you, because you're not looking for the approval from a divine masculine or a divine feminine. You don't give a shit about the herd out there. You're actually processing whatever sensitive emotion came up from inside of you. And you know, okay, something happened that pissed me off. So the difference between a person who can handle their emotional trigger is that in a moment of whatever it is that's coming up, so it doesn't matter if it's ascension energies, doesn't matter if it's an external situation, you are harnessing your own embodied brain. And I've done this so many times that you all know my favorite story is the one where my caring connection is yelling at me, and I'm like containing all these emotions that arose that wanted to come out, and I'm able to not have them come out, but I do know they're going to have to come out eventually, because they came all up and I had to keep them, you know, there, because I was not in a moment or place or time that it could come out. So this is like being a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old that knows, though, as a grown-up, okay, it's not the moment to get down on my knees and cry, essentially. Or, you know, just start crying, not on your knees. That's exaggerated. But the point is, it's not something you're like, oh my God, what did I just have to deal with? I just had to deal with something. That's not what happens in the body or brain of a divine feminine. It's something that you don't see this way. So people who have a hard time with emotions, they call stuff like this post-traumatic growth or trauma, because they're overwhelmed with their emotional stuff. And that's why those divine feminines who are not divine feminines, is because of their projection that I'm like, yeah, you need a good therapist to get out of Cusco land, to get out of your highly sensitive, chaotic way of reacting, because the feminine energy is going to become chaotic when overwhelmed. The masculine energy withdraws, and that's a whole different conversation. So let me finish reading here. The Order of Melchizedek, we already read that part, Testament, da-da-da-da. Yes, it is dedicated to lighting up and outshining all darkness. So again, let's just remember, it's about spreading love. All of us are light, so they're meaning to bring forth the self of every person. That's what we can do when we're secure attachment figures. Pacha handshakes with Cuscos, okay? So secure attachment figure reminds another body, hey, your body can also achieve self-regulation. You can be your inner child. You can come and build to be here and play with me in this unsafe world, because we still live with animals, and, you know, for all we know, the sun's going to, you know, there's this thing, geomagnetic, whatever's going to happen, maybe. So we literally every day could die. And our nervous system and our bodies know this. So we're a herd that comes together. When you find that most people don't trust each other, that's why then none of those people are actually in spirituality at all. They might have clairs, but they are not recognizing the number one thing, which is they're not learning to build trust with each other, and they're not healing. In fact, their trust breaks, attachment wounds, their inner child is not there, their heart is not there. What is there is a teenager with a broken three-year-old heart and a 0-1-year-old who's panicking like fuck and can't go anywhere until somebody, which is the person who's there, oh, let me go and get, you know, Patrick Tiahan to resolve my childhood trauma, or somehow you awaken to my behavior. I don't want to be this. I want to do something different than this. And that's very possible, by the way. Okay, so also this same order, besides, you know, bringing out the light, it also is here to bring a greater balance of masculine and feminine energies to the earth. Its members include Jesus Christ, Archangel Michael, Archaea Faith, and Mother Mary. And the beauty of today, besides it being Easter, is that I think I told you in one of our two episodes, is that I got a recent visit by Jesus. I was contemplating something. And the reason why I say interesting is because it had been a while since I'd had visitors. Because I have visitors. I've had Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and Mother Teresa. But see, now that I know about what they call resources, thanks to my attachment and trauma information courses, because the time I saw Mother Mary, Mother Magdalene, and Mother Teresa was while I was having one of my panic attacks. And they were up in the corner of my room, and I'm like, what are you doing here, Mother Teresa? I don't ever pray to you. You know, I knew about Mother Mary because I grew up with Jesus. Magdalene, I also knew, even though, again, none of them are big figures, meaning I learned about them, but I don't keep them in my mind. Jesus, yes. All the others are, quote unquote, not optional, but I'm just saying I don't have a special. Some people, they pray to each of these individuals separately and with a lot of focus. I personally don't. From my catechism and everything, there's only one person that's consistently been in my mind. And so long story short, though, this visit made me smile. And it was also during something that I was processing. So here, let's go back to when we have emotional triggers and we are actually divine feminines and divine masculines, and you're a whole person. So you know about yourself. So you know about your story, use your name, use whatever age you are, and you look to the past, and you can totally, if you wanted to, know every single one of those experiences. If you're a person who welcomes emotion, then you're good with them. If you're a person who has a struggle with emotions, then you consider it challenging, and that means hard, but that doesn't mean you don't know how to work with your vulnerability, because you're growing intimacy. Okay, so number one, this is why no human being is inherently good or evil. They all have a 0-1-year-old. Now, not all human beings are choosing to go down the path of getting good trauma therapy or attachment therapy or any of that for that matter. So we know that. And as long as that's not going to happen, meaning that they stay in dysregulated and modulated embodied cells, so if their inner child doesn't ever get home to the person, doesn't have their inner child come back to life and become kind, if you will, and basically be able to be your safe haven, again, secure base. So we live in a world that has unknowns, uncertainties, and unwanteds. When you are a secure attachment figure, that's why you're going to be a consistent Pacha handshake who can share with others how to regulate their nervous system and how to be their self. So you get to be you, they get to be them, and we get to build a snowman. And see, Jesus stood for that. In my interpretation of the person who chose love, forgive them for they do not know, blessed are those who see without believing. And he's talking about the human heart in my book, again, my interpretation. And his entire journey was not meant to be visited today. Maybe back then, their way of speaking, it made sense, as well as that energy of the 3D earth, okay? But we don't even have to do those comparisons. If you stay grounded in your educational background, you will have at least a high school degree, right? Okay, so you learned the basics of biology. Now, even if you were the least smart person on the planet, I don't remember a lot of things, but I'm saying if you stay grounded in all that we have learned into up to high school for the Western world, at least America, Italy, again, the countries that I have, Europe, have been exposed to, I'm going to say most people can relate to conversation and understand what is being spoken by another human being. Now, if you have a belief system and you don't know how to put your belief system to the side, that's what implicit bias, that's what religious bias, that's what cognitive dissonance means. It means you're going to begin to taint your own mind, allow yourself to distort what is being discussed, which is, again, something that is for a person who doesn't want to grow up. And there's your Peter Pans with their lost boys and lost girls and Wendy's, okay? So they will continue to reiterate ancient texts as true versus the new stories and the new interpretations, okay? So with that being said, I'm going to share with you the copy just in case you don't go to the YouTube channel from yesterday. So this episode two is dedicated for Easter. And that's to celebrate Christ consciousness, which is what 5D consciousness means. When I looked up 5D because I began ascending, it's because of 5D being Christ consciousness and oneness consciousness that I knew it was in favor of humanity. I was so excited. I still am. But in my excitement, one of the Easters, I actually dismantled the plane of 4D and I dismantled the entire plane of spirituality and I moved beyond it, which is why I said it was funny. And I love that Jesus came to visit. But again, it was quote unquote funny because that Easter that I'll never forget it. I was expecting a miracle with the story of Jesus. And I literally laughed at myself when I was like, okay, well, you were mistaken. And I thought of that one movie with Jim Carrey, and the Man on the Moon. So let me continue to read, but that's my point. So that moment will not ever go away. My brain lived it. I experienced it. I remember it. I know everything that took place. And so it's more of course, I still believe when Jesus existed, but I'm beyond the textbooks and the scriptures and everything that I've been taught because it's all from the past and it doesn't confuse me. That's not confusing. To me, I'm a not a flat earther, I'm a round earther, okay? So this is the difference. 5D mystics, we know where we're at. Okay. And so even though the 5D collective, mystics or not, are outcasts, for those who strictly follow ancient scripture and text, we do celebrate Jesus. He's the man, he's the one man, well, not the only anymore, but the one man that has for a long, long time shown me what a man who has masculine and a balanced feminine is capable of. Walking the walk, talking the talk, walking with all people, not casting a stone, knowing what humble means, which is healthy self-worth. The men and women and theys who out there have secure attachment and are pacha handshakes, they're all integration of the brain, integrated brains. They all are kind, compassionate. They probably will, like me, say it's not about kindness, compassion. It's the physiological way that your body is because you got the oxytocin gene hormone on. And it's really because while you're yelling it at my face, I'm learning. No, I'm not learning. I'm automatically recalibrating myself to safe space because you're not a danger. You have no weapon. You're emotional, and I know how to handle emotions. And then here's what a divine feminine knows how to do if she's an actual divine feminine with a divine masculine is maintain softness. And that's a ventral vagal nervous system. It's your soft yet firm, so you're not scared and you're not agitated. And that's because you know how to be your safe haven. So you know how to then use your eyes to continue staying in a higher social engagement system because you have no trauma charges. That person is not doing anything to you. They have an emotional reaction. Like if you instead have something going on inside of you and you are engaging, you don't withdraw because you now want to close up and not continue the conversation because you were feeling when we get vulnerable, when somebody sees us, and that means when somebody's looking in my eyes, I know if they're wanting to see me. And if they see me, I'm going to feel it in my heart. And that's when I'm going to know if I'm talking about something that makes me uncomfortable and that's mine, it's not theirs. Or better said, I can notice if it's mine or theirs, and you will know when it's yours if you're a divine feminine, but also if you're divine masculine with your own divine feminine. So any person who's whole, essentially, will say, oh, I know where that sensation comes from. You know why? Because an image will come up or a memory will come up And that means whatever events have taken place. So you'll know, like with Easter and this thing about the dismantling of the 4D plane, it was around Easter, the miracle, it was around Easter. So when I am thinking about it, it comes up immediately. Or when Easter comes up, I'm remembering this moment, and that can bring sensations up. But since they're processed with love, they're not something that destabilize me or make me ask questions. That's your self-awareness with the left and right mode and being able to tend to your inner world and then to continue sharing life with other people. Because secure base right here, right? So you choose your herd. We have a herd, Manny, Sid, and Diego with Cusco, Pachas, all of it. You get to be a Pacha if you're moving towards integration of the brain and your secure attachment inner world. So you let your inner child come out to play and you're allowing yourself to build trust, to heal whatever you already will know is looking for healing. And wherever you will have had disappointments, wherever you will have had trust breaks, wherever you will have had something happen of unknown uncertainty and unexpected, you will be in a consistent process of healing. It will heal with the people who have space for you and you have space for them. And it's a space that is there because there's safety. That's the only way you're going to build an intimate relationship, which is why also the lovely therapist, trauma, it's relational, intimacy is the core. You can't heal your own trauma by yourself. That's not how it works, because the trauma charges are there from your experience with other people. It's through the relationships that it was established in the first place. And so it's only through relationship with another human being, at least one, that you're going to be able to actually go and get yourself all the way well-rounded into your whole self. And so we celebrate Jesus. I'm going to read a man as a man who showed and shows humanity the way to love, to living a balanced divine masculine and feminine, and how to be human. He shows us how to forgive, how to be humble, how to walk with all, not just some. Our lovely human species can live this way when healing trauma. Trauma and attachment research alongside neuroscience and neurobiology show how kindness and compassion, our humanity, can come forth. An inner child that has no trauma charges or unfinished business lingering around the body and the brain, aka integration or integration of the brain. That way you know that integration in this case indicates integration of the brain, and therefore also the restorative embodied self. And here's where we have our lovely new stories. And there's no armors or curses. We are only busy healing trauma through our relationships and becoming our whole three-old hearts, our whole humanity. So new stories to heal trauma together and bring forth our humanity from within, which is why we do it one person at a time. And as a collective, we do it together. The co-creative collective. So the 4D, they stay stuck in thinking that they are special. And they don't actually heal their trauma. They maintain what is called basically hatred for humankind, misanthropy. And that's why we got all those shitty entertainment shit going on out there. Yeah, I'm just going to say it. It's all I liked my action movies when I was ignorant on how they perpetuate certain. No, it was because I was a kid growing up. I liked the action movies because the good guys always win, and gals and theys. And then I realized, oh, are there really good guys and gals? And here's where, again, no, there's not, which is why I enjoyed when we started to see those other types of movies come up where the super villains were being shown what happened to them, which they all had some shit happen, like shitty shit. And they're still not a great example, though, because we still have a divide. And right now we have a divide with men and women. And we have a divide with people who still talk about humanity as if we bear some type of shame, which we don't. This original sin that they talk about, the original sin, get rid of the textbooks. I'm going to get rid of them right now. And I'm going to bring in what I learned about our species from an evolutionary psychologist. And we'll go out this way. When we were one with the animal kingdom, meaning our bare hands, we come from darkness. We had no electricity. It's a very straightforward equation to me. If you ask me where we came from, so those masculines, which were predominantly men, they were the ones who went to gather, or they went to hunt. We got to gather, you know, hunter-gatherer. Again, when you look at it from the awareness of the evolutionary psychologist, this is why sadness is one of the emotions that we struggle with, because if you were laying down in the fetus position, the tiger could come get you. when you look at some documentaries, they show that they're hypothesizing that music and dancing began so that we could make a bigger vibration so we could trick the animals to think that we were. If you actually go back to the origins and you forget about all of other social stuff for just a minute, you will know why with biology it explains some of those aspects of shame. And that's because shame begins at the 0-1 year old, where you are not securely attached. And in fact, by the age of 3, if you are securely attached but you get shamed, you will still develop this this posture, and it's also a feeling of I'm defective and I need to prove my worth. And in fact, there's something that had come to my mind. Ah, yes, attachment researchers, when they first started doing the research, they thought that the avoidant, which is the one that's disconnected from their body, was more independent and was healthier than the other attachment categories. That's because the child doesn't even turn around when the parent comes in. What they found out is that the child, his emotional or her emotional or their emotional body was disconnected because in the first year of life, they had no emotional connection with that caregiver. And so they had to shut it down, but it's like having the head cut off from the body. So they ended up finding out that avoidant is not the healthy attachment category. It's secure attachment. When you learn how to regulate your nervous system, you get that from a third of attunement and repairing ruptures. So it's when your mother, father, or mother, mother, father, father misses the beat. They don't understand that you're hungry and they cover you because you're cold. So they make up for it by repairing it. And that's in a consistent contingent. It has to be in a very specific way. If you don't know what to expect, then you're not going to develop secure attachment. When you get yelled at for doing something silly, if they don't repair that, you will be shamed for being a silly kid, which will burst that narcissist bubble and not allow you to grow into a fun, playful person, because that shame will be there where you were playing and having fun and you'll look to others disgusted at them having fun. So there's all answers for this quote-unquote original sin in my book that leads me to 0-1 year old to 3-year old, because those first 3 years of life are all implicit memory. And every sensation that comes up has a reason for being in your body. And so again, use your age, whatever your age is, and all that has come. If you're able to be in the presence with people and have fun, great. If you have a lot of stuff that comes up and you can handle it and you're still having fun, great. If there's stuff that you know is not allowing you to sleep at night, feel good, you know, stuff like that, then okay, you got stuff to do. And this is the part of where we have to go, because the episode's ending shortly. But in honor of the lovely man named Jesus, forgive them, for they do not know, turn that other cheek, and blessed are those who believe without seeing. As Pacha tells Cusco, no one is heartless. That's what he was taught, that's what I was taught, and that's what I know from attachment and trauma information. And that evil Michael Stone scale, all people who need a good therapist. Doesn't mean all people will go, because that's the thing. It's a painful journey to get out of the hell. Therapists negotiate with their patients to keep them there. And then we got movies that make it look cool to go drinking, drugging, fucking, and doing teenager adults who consistently don't actually cherish vows. They don't even move into polyamory. They just talk about each other being infidelity or whatever, okay? So I'm just saying, like, we have a lot of inconsistent, incomplete, both masculines and feminines, and they are incomplete because they are not looking at their teenage self to heal their trauma charges. And the ones who need good therapists, you know, all of them. But there's a baseline of those who have had secure attachment who could easily move into becoming a secure attachment functional adult, meaning they could learn to use their 3-year-old and to have fun. Okay, the ones who have more behind the scenes with their nervous system, it's a little bit more challenging, a little bit or a lot. They would speak for themselves. I can't speak for that because I have secure attachment. But what I can tell you is that when I've met people and I have that have a mindset that says, I'm going to learn from my mistakes, I'm going to learn from shit, and they don't whine about it and they're proactive, well, guess what? They grow into people who know how to handle their nervous system and their emotions. They grow to get a relationship with their divine feminine. Now, one by one, we can support each other to be whole divine feminines and divine masculines. And it's not by using any type of hatred, not even a little bit. It's by learning that one anger if it's not being expressed effectively, it means that you're using it against each other. Now, there's a way to process your emotion and all of them, actually. And it's if you're aware in your prefrontal cortex, if you struggle, then that's why we get good therapists to come on board and support us. So again, kindness, compassion, lead with love. We're not living in anybody else's body or brain. We can support each other and get that heaven in the body for more people than not. So Pacha Handshakes it is. We'll be back with more. Again, thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions, let me know. Have a great day and Easter for those of you who celebrate.